Norman Mailer has a massive new novel about the CIA called Harlot's Ghost. We're anxious to hear what our book critic John Leonard has to say about it.
In 1976, in New York Magazine, Norman Mailer sneezed metaphors all over Watergate and the CIA. Is America governed by accident more than we are ready to suppose, or by design, he asked. Trying to understand whether our real history is public or secret, exposed or at the highest level, underground, is equal to exploring the opposite theaters of our cynicism and our paranoia. What a crazy country we inhabit, he cried. What a harlot. What a brute. She squashes sausage out of the minds of novelists on their hot-footed way to a real good plot. Harlot's Ghost is the elephantiasis of that magazine article. A lot of sausage. I'm about to fall on my sword attempting to describe it. We've waited as long for Mailer's CIA novel as we waited for his Egyptian novel. And his sausage is nourishing enough, as far as it goes. It just doesn't go far enough. Flashing back from 1984, the novel never flashes forward again after 1963. We turn these many pages happily. Suppose that Julian Sorrell had joined the CIA instead of the Roman Catholic Church. Suppose C.P. Snow had written Strangers and Brothers about spooks instead of scientists. There is wonderful stuff about Berlin in the 1950s and the Bay of Pigs. And then the kissing stops. Before Vietnam, before Watergate, before Iran and Nicaragua. To be continued, we are told, after 1,300 pages. Our hero, Harry Hubbard, is holed up in Moscow with the manuscript we've just finished reading, and he's looking for Harlot, who may be the company's ultimate mole. And we don't even know if this mole's alive, nor whether he's really a mole, nor why Harry's wife betrayed him with another CIA tough guy, nor even if, as Harry's father suggests, poor Marilyn Monroe was really murdered by Jimmy Hoffa to put the fix on Bobby Kennedy. We don't know, because 20 years are left out of the novel. This won't do. I'll follow Mailer into the minds of William Harvey, E. Howard Hunt, Sam Giancana, and Judith Exner. I'll accept Harlot as a version of James Jesus Angleton, the counter-espionage paranoid who saw doubles wherever he looked in his wilderness of mirrors. I'll grant that how we behave in history says something about how we behave in bed, that we're all spooks, that there are ghosts in the nation's attic and between our sheets. Though it does seem to me that Harry, or is it Norman, really wants to go to bed with John Kennedy and Fidel Castro. Being a good sport, I'll even suspend my disbelief when Harlot tells us that communism is the entropy of Christ. And when the wasp ice queen Kittredge trashes Freud and blathers on about her pop Jungian psychology of alpha and omega. The company code names, from glaucoma to Rapunzel to Stonehenge, are very funny. Nor is it Mailer's fault that Don DeLillo, Joan Didion, and Stan Lee in Dunn's Conundrum have already covered a lot of this territory. And it's too late now to get into an argument with Mailer about manhood and heroism and the thrill of the kill. He's always climbed his rocks, so I don't have to. He's braver than I am. Let him make a cult of it. But after so much brilliant tease, you have to deliver, and Harlot's Ghost doesn't. Instead, it evaporates into the foggy notion that evolution is God's cover story, that the whole universe is disinformation. To be continued. I've waited as long for Mailer as I've waited for the Red Sox.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Norman Mailer's new novel, Harlot's Ghost. I'll talk with Norman Mailer next week on the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.